Well, good morning, everyone. There was an investor who went to talk to his stockbroker about his financial situation as the markets weren't doing so well at that time. And trying to make the investor understand as clearly as possible, the stockbroker said, "Let me put it to you this way. All of your disposable income has been disposed of." If you have ever had any dealings with the stock market, you know that there's the basic principle of growing your investment: buy low, sell high. Of course, the trick is to know and to speculate when that will happen. So investors and brokers watch companies closely on growth and decline. But what is illegal is insider information. That is, for someone from within the company to leak information to someone outside the company to make an investment prior to it being officially released. It can come, it's more complicated than that, or can be complicated, more complicated than that. But the law prevents people from making an illegal profit over the rest of the investors or potential investors are trying to manipulate the stock. Well, I'm going to give you some insider information today. And it's legal. Why is it legal? Because God said it was. Isaiah the prophet gave us this information so that we could profit in the future. Profit from the prophet. Get it? Yeah, okay. And thank you. And this is how I know this is important insider information. At the very beginning of chapter 55 that we read from today, Isaiah said this: "Ho." When a prophet says "ho," it is not to be taken lightly. It means to really listen up. It means I want you to hear this loud and clear. He said, "Ho, come to me, incline your ear. Hear, and your soul shall live. Come closer, listen to me, because what I have to tell you will make your soul live." Then we come to what we read today. "For as the rain and the snow came down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout." Now you got that? Rain and snow water the earth and brings forth growth. Trees grow, crops grow. It benefits the earth and it benefits us. And it's a known fact of nature. God designed it that way. We know that the rain and the snow is a sure bet, right? We can count on it. We know it comes. We know that it won't return empty. It's going to allow what nourishes to grow. It's like the psalmist alluded on through the whole psalm that we heard today. Now get this. Just as sure as that is, just as reliable as that process occurs, Isaiah says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It will not return empty." Again, "so shall my word." I want us to really see this. John said at the start of his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So let's go back to the beginning. How did God create the heavens and the earth? Through his word. He spoke it. The word made it happen. Read it. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be land," and there was land. God said, "Let there be the fish and the creatures in the sea," and there was fish and creatures in the sea. God said, "Let there be creatures on the earth," and there was creatures on the earth. But then something changed. Then God said, "Let us make man and woman in our image." He didn't speak it this time. He took the time to form the man out of the dust of the earth. He formed the woman out of the rib of the man. He breathed life into their nostrils. His very spirit entered into them, and God's word became a part of who they were at that moment. However, through the gift of free will and falling into temptation, we are a fallen people. But the word has never left. The word continues. Now Isaiah and other prophets like him is speaking by the Spirit of God. And he says, God's word is a sure bet. You can count on it. I think so many times we look at God's word, we read it, we might get a little charge out of it, a little excited from what we hear. But many times we may not really expect growth to happen. We might want it to grow, but we don't expect growth to happen. I read this quote this week. The Lord doesn't speak to hear himself talk. He speaks to accomplish his purpose. He wants us to hear it. Look at what the Lord said. I will accomplish that which I purpose, and it will succeed in the things for which I sent it. And that is the point of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, when he said this parable that we heard today. The parable of the sower. Jesus is out on the lake, and the crowds have gathered around him, and he tells them a parable. Remember, Jesus taught using parables, and there's an underlying point or a lesson that he wants us to hear out of that. In this parable, Jesus is talking about the condition of the heart. In most of the parables, Jesus made a beginning statement like, the kingdom of God is like, and he gives the parable. But in this first parable, he doesn't do that because this is the beginning. This is the start of when he started teaching. And this is how we achieve the first step so we can experience the kingdom in our lives. This parable is one that we have all heard before and is one that Jesus explains in some detail. Because the disciples are asking for some insider information. Explain it to us. And the irony of this parable is about how you can understand him, the word, and future teachings as well. The seed of the word is given to us. Jesus came to proclaim the word. He is the word. Our heart is the soil, at the center of our being, our soul. In the parable of the sower, the messenger throws the seed on the path, and now Jesus knows the heart. And he knows that the conditions of the heart is going to fall into one of four different categories. It's either going to be like the path where the seed falls and it does not take root. The robber comes or the thief comes and just steals it away. These are those who are where nothing takes root. They don't understand or want to understand, and the evil one comes along and takes them away. Then there's those whose heart is like rocky soil. They are the ones who hear the word. They might hear a sermon or see a teaching on the radio or hear a teaching on the radio and see a teaching on TV. And they really get excited about what they hear, but the roots are loose and there's nothing to grab hold on to. This person never maybe cracks open a Bible or never builds on relationships. Consequently, Jesus is saying when temptation comes along, those who aren't rooted will be pulled out easily because there's, again, nothing to take root. Then there's those whose hearts are still full of thorns. They hear the word, but they don't want to let go of the world or the sinful nature around them. On the outside, they want to appear as one who is seeking God, but on the inside, there's conflict going on because they can't the thing comes and tries to choke them out. Roz and I were talking between services about our experiences that we had, or it was actually before the services this morning, about our experiences that we've had growing up in this state. And when I lived in Winter Haven, my dad had three lots, and on one lot we had the house, one lot we had the garage, the other lot he planted fruit trees. And we had like two pink grapefruit trees, we had a key lime tree, two key lime trees, and several orange trees. And my brother and I's job was to make sure that the growth underneath the trees stayed clear, because in fruit trees, if you've ever grown fruit, you got to keep that grass from outside out to the canopy of the fruit tree, or else you're going to have poor fruit. You got to keep that weeded out and the grass out. That was our job. And if you've ever been around a key lime tree, it has thorns about this long on it, and it was a chore. But that's what this is saying. You don't want to be choked out of the word that's given to us. Finally, there is the word that falls on the heart that is hungry and wants to grow. The seed will be nourished by the word and grow and produce more fruit, like fruit trees. And Jesus says that the crop will be 30, 60, or 100 times what it is. And it will, when that seed is sown, because it's well-rooted and it's receiving the nourishment that it needs. They are the ones who will stand against temptation. They are the ones who will not let the enemy steal the gift that God is offering. They are the ones who will be grounded and not be choked out by the world around them. What kind of fruit are we talking about? Well, in Romans, Paul tells us it refers to one kind of fruit is fruit of holiness that we receive. God desires a holy people. That means set apart. In Galatians, we are told of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then in Hebrews, we are told that our praises are the fruit of our lips. We read, through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. And as we continue to grow in the Lord, as we open ourselves up more and more, his word becomes alive in us as it was meant to be. And as we allow the fertile ground of our hearts to be planted with the word, things begin to happen. Our lives will continue to be transformed as we allow the word to grow. And out of that rich soil of the heart comes this wonderful outpouring of expression of our love and gratitude towards God. Again, Isaiah says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst in song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Count on it. You see, that's what happens when we allow ourselves to be totally immersed with who God is in our lives. When we come together on the weekend, we spend this time together as part of our total worship. We are releasing ourselves to him. Our focus is on him. We don't come to be entertained. We come to enter into this presence through the music that we sing. We don't come just to hear a sermon or a Bible study between services, but hopefully we can get a little closer to understanding him through those things. At least I hope so. We don't come together to just receive communion and then we're set for another week. We share in a communion that is holy and done in remembrance of the sacrifice that Jesus did for us. We don't come together to just have fellowship. We come to seek him through the fellowship as we support one another and grow together. Everything we do in this place should be centered around our entering into his presence through praise, through our prayers, through communion together, and through our fellowship. Through all of that, his word becomes stronger and well-rooted in us. But that's just a portion of our lives, isn't it? What do we do in between Sundays? I want to close with a parable of sorts. It's called the parable of the ducks. There was a community of ducks waddling off to duck church one Sunday to hear their duck preacher. After they waddled into duck sanctuary, the service began and the duck preacher spoke eloquently of how God had given the ducks wings to which they could fly. He pounded the pulpit with his beak. Sound effects. With the wings, they can know there's nowhere we ducks can't go. There is no God-given task we ducks cannot accomplish. With these wings, we no longer need to walk through life. We can soar high in the sky. Shouts of amen were quacked throughout the duck congregation. The duck preacher concluded the message by explaining, with our wings, we can fly through life. We can fly. More ducks quacked loud amens in response. Every duck loved the service. In fact, all the ducks that were present commented on what a wonderful, convicting message they had heard from the duck preacher. Then at the end of the morning, all the ducks waddled all the way home. Family of God, we have the very Word of God available to us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to grow in us, to take us into areas that we thought we never could. I'll share with something that happened to me yesterday. I was going to an apartment complex to check on something, one of our parishioners who passed away early in the year, and I needed to talk to the apartment manager about some things, and she wasn't there, but there was a guy out front, partially blind, smoking a cigarette, and I asked him if the manager was there. He said, no, she won't be back till Monday, and so I left, but I got 3 blocks away, and the Lord said, go back, go pray for that guy, and so I thought and thought. The light was getting ready to turn green, and I made a U-turn, and I went back. I didn't know who I was going to pray for. He was partially blind. I would love for him to receive his sight. So I went back, and I talked to him, and I said, do you have an eye problem? He says, I see shadows. And I said, I'm a pastor, and I was here to see the manager, but can I pray for you? Do you mind that? He says, no, not at all. So I prayed for him. Now, I don't know what's going to come out of that. His name's Greg, so the least thing, the 100 of us will be praying for Greg when you go home tonight, because he'll get 100 prayers that he wouldn't have had I not stopped. So pray for Greg. But there was such a conviction to go back, and I had a choice to make. Now, I've got to tell you, there's times that has happened and I have not gone back, and I repent of that. But when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to do something like that, we need to move. His word is the very presence of God, will always be there for us to use us, to take us through this life as God himself has created us to do. He has designed us that way. May we allow our heart to become fertile ground for the word to take root in us. You see, the thing about this insider information is that it's for everyone to hear. It's for everyone to benefit if their heart is open to it. And the best thing of all, it's free. You don't have to buy it. God is always there. If anything restricts it, it is us. In closing, I came across, just between services, I was looking on something for something else, and I came across this slide that I want to bring up now. And it reads this: never measure God's unlimited power by your limited expectations. Nothing else needs to be said, because we have unlimited power through the power of Jesus Christ. The only thing that limits us is our own expectations. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit that wants to be ingrained in our hearts, Lord God, to be used by you in a wonderful way, in ways, again, that we have never expected or can expect, but you lead us by your Spirit, Lord God. So I pray for each person here that you would so open their hearts to be fertile ground for your word to come alive in us, Lord God. Use us, Lord, for we're listening. Open our hearts, Lord God, to receive, that we may do mighty things through you as you call on us to do the work that you have given us to do. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.